Hi, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Justine.
I'm Scott.
And welcome to another episode of It's About Damn Crime, episode 74. Dang, I did my own fade out. You like that?
So you even like retracted from the microphone and everything?
I did. Move my head a little sideways.
All right.
Get that fading effect going. Okay. We're already at episode 74.
I know. Jeez, how did that happen?
Scott and I just got back from Missouri. And we were only there for maybe, we did like a road trip type deal.
We drove from Las Vegas to Missouri.
Yeah.
20 hours.
Yep.
Do you wish you could go back in time and just fly?
Yes.
No.
I lost 40 hours of my life.
I didn't mind it. Next time we will fly, though.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
We've never done a road trip before, so we're like, whatever. We'll just do it. And
that's why you gotta have one of them Game Boys with you.
Yeah, he was switching off from his 3DS and his Switch. So when his 3DS needed a charge, he would jump on his Switch.
Oh, my God.
Alternate.
Came equipped.
So, Lord. It's crazy going from, like, because you're driving through, so you just come from the desert, and then you make your way to
progressively
all,
less desert.
Yeah, towards all green. It's just fucking forests everywhere, or like there's cows everywhere, sheep.
Dude, you realize horses. How flat Texas is.
Texas.
Not
is
a hill in sight.
So weird.
Yeah. We went to the Titanic Museum in Branson, and that was it was neat to go there. I'm glad I went, but it was very, very sad.
Yeah.
Almost cried in the music room.
I don't know if you guys knew, a lot of people died.
Yeah.
Weren't aware.
And in the beginning, we get these, what are those called again, Scott?
It's like a little card, and it assigns a passenger to you. And then at the end, you get to find out if they live or die. It tells you like their whole life story on the card and everything. Says their name, their age, why they were taking the trip to begin with, yada, yada, yada. And then at the end, you get to look on the wall and find out if they
lived or died.
Yeah.
I lived. Scott lived. I think all of us in our group lived.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had me thinking, like, oh, what if they just give you the survivor cards?
Yeah.
So they don't give you.
Yeah. Aw. That's nice.
You know, I was looking at the not to get too sidetracked, but I was looking at the percentage of people who lived on first class, second class, third class, and then crew. And it goes first class, like a huge percentage of them lived.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly men that died because everybody knows they let women and children first, yada, yada, yada. But first class, like pretty good percentage of them lived. Second class, decent percentage of them lived, but still the majority. And then third class, nope, not so many survivors in third class. And same with crew, too. Crew and third class got the shit end of the stick.
Aww. Yeah. We went into the music room where they have it dedicated to basically the band who went down with the ship playing. Mm-hmm. And I was
because
like,
that was true.
I was like, almost like lost it. I'm like trying to hold back my tears. Something in my eye.
Something in both my eyes.
It was sad. So
it was pretty
sad.
It was cool, though.
Yeah, it was neat to go there.
The coolest part, I thought, is they have these little setups of the angle at which the ship was at certain points. And they let you walk on it to see how hard it was to stand on it.
Uh-huh.
And the final one, when it was pretty much going in, dude, like breaking ankles just to stand up on it.
Yeah.
It was neat.
It was so hard. There was also this display where it was a Morse code touch screen.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, his grandma was having the hardest time.
Dude, watching old people with technology is the best. Like, mashing her finger on the screen.
Oh.
So we had to help her out. But, yeah, then she went to go press enter to enter the SOS message.
Uh-huh.
And she accidentally pressed the reset button, so it got rid of her message.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Then we went to Lambert's, where the home of the throat roll.
Yeah.
They throw rolls at you.
Safe to say, if we're starting to tell you about a restaurant that we went to, there ain't shit to do in Missouri, because that was the most exciting thing that we did, was go to Titanic Museum.
Yeah. I got to meet all your family.
Yeah.
All your mom's side of the family. So that was cool. But that's basically all we did. We just hung out with your family and...
That's it.
That's it.
Sounds like a blast. I'm jealous they missed it.
You'd have loved it. We drank much water.
Yeah. I do love water. What did I do while you guys were gone? Nothing. Oh, that's not true. Yesterday, ladies over at Keeping It Casual podcast.
Yesterday, meaning Saturday.
Saturday, sorry. You guys don't know.
We're recording this on Sunday.
Invited me and Brittany to go to the Sound House for Life is Beautiful down in Fremont. And Brittany couldn't come because she was, you know.
Driving
from Missouri. So me and my friend Nicole went, but it was super fun.
That's good.
And they did like acoustic sets for some of the artists. Some of them just did interviews. And it was open bar. What more could you ask for?
Right? Who doesn't love
open bar? You can just invite me to an open bar without an attraction.
Without anything going on. So it was fun. So thanks, ladies over there. MJ and Bree.
I wish I could have went, but.
Yeah. It was definitely an experience. Like, there was probably like 6 rows of seats for the
interviews,
the stage performances. So it's like they were super teeny tiny, and they were fun. And then afterwards, like the artists would like sit there and talk, and then they did a meet and greet up on the roof, so you could go take pictures with them. And
oh, how fun!
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
I didn't meet and greet anyone because famous people make me nervous.
How are they introducing you, Bree and MJ?
Oh, this is Justine from It's About Damn Crime. I'm like, yeah, that's me. One guy was like, oh my god, you're from It's About Damn. I'm like, don't lie.
You don't know.
He ain't gotta lie to kick it.
Oh my god. He's like, no, she told me. I'm like, okay.
Settle down. Right, okay. Right.
Hold on. You're Justine from It's About Damn Crime.
What if he was like, can I get your autograph?
No. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
That's good.
We actually have some cool stuff coming up with Keeping It Casual, so if you guys have not gone to listen to them yet, we suggest you do that now.
Yeah.
They're fun.
They really are. Okay. Are we ready to get started? Scott, are you going to fall asleep over there? You're yawning already.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a long drive back, you know? I get it.
All right, ready?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Get started.
Wait, hold on. Okay, go.
You're an asshole.
Oh my god.
Okay.
He's about to get fired.
Star General Ronald Suh met and married the future Mrs. Elizabeth Suh in Seoul, South Korea. Yeah, that's right, guys. We're going to South Korea. Scott, make the airplane sound.
That's not an airplane sound
at all.
That was my impromptu airplane
sound. I'll give you an E for effort. Okay, the couple eventually, they had 2 children. A son named Byung-cha. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right, because I'm just going off by how they pronounced it.
It's spelled Chul, but every time the Koreans would say it, it didn't seem like they pronounced the L in the end.
Byung-cha and Catherine Suh. The family lived in an apartment, and everything seemed to be going okay for the Suh family. These are how all these, you know, these stories always start like that, right?
Mm-hmm. It's
like, everything's going okay.
Can you imagine if that was our podcast? We're like, okay, the end.
Yeah, the end.
It's a great family.
Okay, so when Byung was 9 years old, he decided he was going to play around on the roof of the Suh family's apartment building. Where were his parents?
Right.
Clearly not watching him.
Clearly. Not on the ground floor ready to catch him.
So what happened, Justine?
He fell off.
Yep.
And he was still alive when they found him, but was brain dead. So very shortly after the fall, Ronald and Elizabeth decided to remove Byung from life support.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Completely sad.
It's just like such a weird accident. Like,
yeah.
Why were you up on the roof?
How did you get up there?
Fucking fall off. Why was no one watching you?
How did he get up there?
And I was still like really little. Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I just wonder.
9 would be what? 4th grade?
It's 3rd grade.
3rd grade?
Mm-hmm. So, it's a very, very tragic thing that happens, you know, to lose your child at a young age. Mm-hmm. So, instead of Ronald, you know, the dad, saying, you know, I lost my son. I'm going to, you know, do whatever I can to make my daughter, to basically give her the life I couldn't give my son. It was like the total opposite. He actually blamed Catherine and just like started treating her basically like shit.
Because I was their firstborn son. That like, yeah. In that culture, well, in a lot of cultures, I guess. It's not just Korean. This is any patriarchal society. Your firstborn son, your eldest son, is like the most treasured.
Yeah.
Yeah. More important than the daughter. Actually,
his only son at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in Ronald's head, because he had a daughter, this horrible thing happened to his son. Yeah, I think that
like
was
like a curse to him that he.
Yeah.
He was cursed with a daughter, and because he had a daughter, the son was inevitably going to die.
Yeah.
What
kind of mindset is that?
I don't get it.
Very old school. I don't even know if you could chalk that up to old school. That's just... He's projecting his anguish onto his daughter.
Yeah, they said that he like definitely followed like old school traditional Korean values or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means be awful to your daughter.
To your daughter, yeah.
He took it to his own level.
Yeah. And then to make matters worse, because Ronald was on a roll. He started threatening Elizabeth that if she didn't give him a son, he was going to leave her and Catherine behind. What?
That's a very old way of thinking.
Yeah. Like, if you don't give me a son, I'm going to divorce you. What?
That's that old king and queen style. Mm-hmm. If this queen doesn't bear me an heir, then I'm going to go find me another queen.
Yep.
Did you guys ever see that movie? It was with Natalie Portman.
Yes, I've seen every one of her movies because she's my...
Oh, my God. But the king, like, took her older sister, married her. And then Natalie Portman was like, no, bitch, you're going to marry me. So she went in and seduced him. He married her. And she couldn't get pregnant. She could not get pregnant to save her life. And he was getting pissed off because he wanted an heir. So she went and fucked her brother.
Gross.
Yeah.
Oh, because it was him that was infertile. Because
it was his fault that he was infertile?
Yeah. Right.
And back then, they would never blame the man.
Yeah, yeah, it was always the woman's. Yeah.
But then he found out, and then they all died. I think he hung all of them. The brother and the two sisters.
What movie is this? Why haven't I seen it? I want to watch it. I
remember what it's called. I'll look it up after this.
Okay.
They're all yelling at us right now what it is. But
yeah.
Okay, so the problem was that Elizabeth was in her 40s already.
Yeah, so, and you know when you get older, your biologic clock is...
Yeah, like your eggs are no longer fun. So I'm sure
eggs are no longer fun.
I'm sure that Ronald's...
Because before, they're real fun. You could juggle them.
I'm sure Ronald was old, too. So he probably had old, crusty sperm.
He had old balls.
Gross. These adjectives.
Sorry. So anyways... Elizabeth had to start taking, like, experimental...
Yeah, like, fertility drugs. Yeah.
Really put her body through the ringer.
Uh-huh.
So, on January 12th, 1974, Andrusa was born. Andrew, guys, it's a boy. It's a new son.
Mm-hmm.
She managed to get pregnant through experimental means.
So, the family decided it was time for a completely fresh start. They want to start all over. And in 1976, I was going to say 1996, but that would have been a lie.
Yeah, not true.
1976, they decide to head to America. And Chicago, to be exact. Mm-hmm. Andrew was 2 years old and Catherine was 7. Ronald decided to open a pharmacy. And Elizabeth opened a dry cleaners. And for a while... Life was normal.
She wanted to also work in the pharmacy as well, but she had to retake the test.
Yeah, and she couldn't.
And she wasn't able to do it.
Yeah.
And so she ended up just working at the laundromat instead.
Yeah. And I think, like, because they're immigrants, in this documentary that we all watched, they really hit home that their kids were their little translators, and they were real proud about it because they're immigrants from Korea. They speak Korean. They don't speak English. So...
Yeah, the dad's English was super broken, and the mom's was decent, but not quite up to snuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, life was normal as possible for a Korean immigrant family in the 70s. The family worked hard. Like, hard.
Emphasis on the hard.
Yeah.
That's that immigrant discipline. Like, right, any yeah. immigrant fresh to America is, mm-hmm. like, the hardest working
yeah.
populace.
So 6 days a week, all day long, the kids were expected to help. The kids, okay? Andrew said that he would be up between 4 and 5 with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
They would go out and buy supplies for the pharmacy. He'd come back, go to school, be at school, then take an hour-long bus ride from the school to either the pharmacy or the dry cleaners, wherever he was needed that day. Work till 8 p.m., go home, have dinner, do his homework, go to bed, get up, and do it all over again.
Bruh.
And this kid is a kid. He's
I was just gonna
7,
say,
8, yeah. 9.
And he's doing all of this mm-hmm. at that young of an age, you know?
Yeah.
Catherine was also required to put in these hours, but unlike Andrew, you know, probably because she was a little older, Kathy was like, I'm not going to do that.
Not only that, like, her dad had already started to treat her like shit. She didn't feel yeah, like a part yeah. of the family, I can only imagine.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going full American. And started going to Rage Against the Machine. Started becoming rebellious, just kind of being defiant.
Which she probably wasn't even being that bad.
No. But who knows, you know?
Yeah, compared to what he expected of her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter how hard Kathy tried, she was never able to... She was never capable of doing enough to please her father. She would do all... You know, she would try to help out. Or she would do all she can, but her dad just didn't see like the good things that she tried to do, mm-hmm. you know? He just couldn't... She just couldn't please him. And while Andrew was the miracle son and was constantly praised, Kathy was not. And Ronald would consistently beat Kathy.
Yeah, she was like the outcast, and Andrew was the second coming of Byung-Chul.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
So, I mean, if I was her and I was busting my ass all day and I was being treated like shit, I'd be like, fuck that. I'm out. Bye. Yeah. If I wasn't being appreciated for the work I was doing... I'd be
out.
You
have to praise your kids. You can't just put them down all the time.
Yeah.
Then what's the point of even trying?
Dude, yeah. back in the day, adults were idiots when it came to raising children.
Yeah.
The littlest thing could ruin a kid.
Yeah. Well, you can't treat your
kid... And this wasn't no little thing.
You can't treat your kid like shit and then expect him to do all this work for you and be okay with it.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Especially when you're around her age.
And I think he was just like... He was an asshole. Scott yeah. was. He was abusive. He was abusive to the mom, clearly, because he's putting all this pressure on her to get knocked up at 40 or he's threatening to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Forcing her to sing some Ace of Base. All that she wants is another baby.
Stupid. And then they were interviewing the family a lot, like one cousin. And he was saying that he made it very clear to everyone that he did not like Kathy.
Yeah. And that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, being...
When even other people in the family know it.
Yeah. Yeah. And knowing that your father clearly doesn't like you. And mm-hmm. it's known yeah. to everybody.
Just sucks. So all of this brings us to one fateful night when a Latino boy, as they called him.
Latino?
He's one of them Latinos.
Called the Suh house looking for 15-year-old Kathy. That was a guess. I feel like she was around 15 years old. Also in this story, guys, we don't have dates. Very few of them. So just mm-hmm. bear with us. So Kathy's dad, Ronald, intercepted the phone call and got pissed.
Yep.
He told her that the family had not moved to America for her to become a whore. Because getting a phone call from a boy makes you a whore. And then Andrew says that he started smacking her in the face.
Yeah.
Right? And so she finally had enough, and she reached up, and she scratched her dad in the chest and drew blood.
Full Catwoman.
She drew blood. So he grabbed her, doused both of them in gasoline.
Which, where did he get the gasoline from? Did he have to walk all the way to the garage to get the gasoline?
Probably dragged her out to the garage.
Wait here, Catherine. Be right back.
Doused them both in gasoline and then pulled a lighter out of his pocket and told her that they were going to die together.
He was actually supposedly striking it. Like,
yeah, he was trying to get it to go, and he could not get it to work. Yeah. And the mom, thank God, Elizabeth, heard all the commotion, came running down, took the lighter away, and, like, separated them. Mm-hmm. But after that, like, they're probably whatever little relationship they had
was gone.
Was done. Yeah. Which, fuck yeah. You're trying to kill me because a boy called me?
Yeah.
You don't even have control over that.
Trying to kill me in the weirdest way possible.
Yeah, that's so violent.
Thank goodness that that match did not
strike. I know.
Jeez. Imagine Elizabeth and Andrew coming down to see that, like,
even them both engulfed in flames.
Yeah.
Could have ignited that.
Yeah. Ugh. And it's so funny because they're interviewing Andrew. I have lots of feelings about Andrew. Very conflicting feelings.
She thinks he's real cute.
He's not wrong. I would have done it.
He's very good looking.
He's pretty good looking.
Yeah. But when he's like recalling the story, mm-hmm. he's like, she made my father bleed. She, like,
nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Just like very much puts this whole thing on Kathy and doesn't see that there's anything wrong with the way that his father behaved. Like, I almost feel like he's like, and then there's even one point he's like, she didn't even apologize. Apologize for fighting back? What? This family is so bizarre to me. It's so weird. Anyways, we'll come back to how weird it is.
Yeah. In 1985, Ronald Suh was diagnosed with stomach cancer. 11-year-old Andrew sat by his father's side for 3 weeks. Andrew was a heavy sleeper, and what he did is he got a piece of twine and he tied it from his arm to his dad's arm. So that way, if his dad needed him, all he had to do was yank the string, and which in turn would yank Andrew's arm and wake him up so he could help him.
Dude, and the Korean newspaper loved every bit,
of that story. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Came down, interviewed him. There's a picture of them in the Korean Times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So while Andrew was with, you know, by his dad for those 3 weeks, Kathy only came to visit one time. She came in around 7 or 8 p.m. on September 18th, 1985. She came in, stood in the doorway, looked at her father, and said, okay. And then walked out.
She gave him the Ivan Drago from Rocky. If he dies,
he dies. He dies. Ronald Suh died at 10 p.m. that same night.
And Kathy threw a party.
Ronald did. What was that okay about? Like, what was that okay I showed up? Is that what her okay was for? Like, okay, I showed up. I'm going to go now.
When he passed away.
No, it was just a little bit before.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, because she showed up around 7 or 8, and then he died at 10.
Mm. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was like a, all right, well, this is where you are, bye, or.
Like, oh, okay, I showed up, and then I can leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she put a curse on him because he died so quickly afterwards.
Maybe.
He's like a Korean brouhaha.
Okay. So Elizabeth and Andrew, of course, were devastated. But 16-year-old Kathy was finally free from her father's control. I can't imagine having any love for this person anymore. Like, all he ever did was put you down. He always hated you.
Made it known to the family that he hated you, too.
Beat the fuck out of you. Tried to set your ass on fire for a phone call.
Blamed your brother's death on you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I can't imagine being even sad that this person's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, okay, it's also your fault. I don't know, though, dude. I think at that point that...
When people say blood is thicker than water, but, I mean, it's technically true, but it's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah. Just especially after all the abuse, like...
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
all the hell that he put her through.
Yeah. So, Kathy lost her mind. She started doing whatever she wanted. Started drinking. She barely graduated high school. And then she figured out that she could flirt with older dudes to get her way.
Justina has yet to figure that one out.
No. God damn it. But we're going to come back to that in just a little bit.
So let us first discuss how the loss of his father affected 11-year-old Andrew. Well, first and foremost, his mother started leaning on him for every single thing.
I feel like she made him into her little husband.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Her little 11-year-old husband, which is weird.
Yeah. I guess she didn't know how to write a check.
Her own little Oedipus.
So I guess she didn't know how to write a check, and then she told Andrew, you know. Well, Andrew had to help her write a check. She didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. She had to do everything for her.
Yeah. Elizabeth sold off the pharmacy because she couldn't pass the pharmacy test. Mm-hmm. So she kept working at the dry cleaners. And now that Andrew was the man of the house, he worked just as hard. But again, he was only 11 years old. Man, this kid's been working since he was 7. Like, working his ass off, right?
Yeah.
Since he was 7. Jeez. And now he's 11. His dad's gone. Oh. And now he has to work even harder than he was before.
Yeah. Which, how is that possible? I don't even know.
Yeah. There was a story that he said, what was it? There was a four. Did his mom record it?
Oh, yeah. The mom insisted that they record the wake and the funeral. And it was like a 4-hour-long tape. And that she would just sit in the living room and watch that tape over and over.
And cry.
And over and over and over again.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck?
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Maybe there are tears of joy.
I don't know. And then...
finally. It's gone. The tyrant.
Freedom!
Yeah. And then he went to console her. Andrew did.
Uh-huh.
One night. And then she asked him... What was the question? It was
if it was me, you, your wife, and your child, all on a mountain, and it was on fire, and you could only save one or the other, either your wife and your kid or me, who would you save?
Yeah. And he was like, well, you know, being 11 years old, he's trying to rationalize it. And he's like, well, I'll just sacrifice myself so you, the three of you could get away, survive. And she's like, no, you have to choose.
Which is already, like, very mature for an 11-year-old.
Right? I would have been like,
I don't give a fuck. I don't know. Me. I'll push you both into the fire.
Put me out of my misery.
But she's like, no, you have to choose. So he said, well, he was thinking since his mom lived a long life, mm-hmm. he's like, you know, I'm going to choose my wife and my son. And he also thought the same thing about his son. Like, that my son is going to carry on my name as well.
Yeah.
And then
Elizabeth went,
yeah.
Wrong answer.
What was the right answer, Justine?
Me, your mommy. Because you can knock up as many broads as you want to. You could have as many wives as you want. You only got one mom.
Yep.
So you should save me.
Yep.
Which, what the fuck kind of weird...
Turns out not just the dad was weird.
Like, why would you put that on your kid?
At also, 11 what's years with the old. Weird
burning mountain analogy. Like,
yeah,
you're so on weird. A burning mountain. You can only cross it
with one person. That's so bizarre. I don't get it. Anyways, so now Kathy is 18, and she's dating a man by the name of Robert Odebain. Well. That was his name at the time. He had a different name before that.
Yeah.
And I remember what it was.
I wonder... Coron. Because I was wondering why his brother had a different last name than him. Then it kind of went into a side story that Robert...
Changed
his last name.
Because he wanted to be fancy.
Exactly. No, because his mom had the... His mom's side of the family
had money. Point. Yeah, so he wanted to carry on
her maiden name,
which is also weird and a lot of work because you still don't have money; you just have their name.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so Robert was 7 or 8 years older than she was, he was 25, and she was 18.
Yeah,
that's not
the weirdest.
That horrific.
No,
it's actually fine.
Think about it. When you're 25, you're pretty young.
Yeah. You're still an idiot at 25.
That's true.
So she was, like, trying to find, like, well-off older men. So I don't know why she got stuck with this dude. Because he didn't have nothing. So I don't know what her plan of action there was. Maybe it was innocent at that point still. So they met at the local gym where Rob was a manager and Kathy was a trainer. But he was in power. because he was the manager. Mm-hmm. And maybe an 18-year-old Kathy mind, she's like, ooh, that means you got shit going on.
Yep.
Manager of a gym doesn't mean a whole lot, okay?
She saw a little bit of herself in him, too. Like that ambition, A. Mm-hmm. And B, a little bit of sociopathy in him. A little bit of weird in him.
Robert's family says that they were actually a very cute couple and had a totally normal relationship. But Mama Elizabeth hated the fact that Kathy was dating an older white man. Again, not that much older. Who cares? I think it was more of just the fact that he was a white man.
He's a white man, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which brings us to October 6th, 1987, when 55-year-old Elizabeth Suh, you know, the mom, mm-hmm. was found dead in the back of her dry cleaners. She had been stabbed 37 times. I think it was in the face and the neck.
Jesus.
Police thought it was a robbery gone wrong because the cash register was slightly open and her wallet was missing. But we'll get back to that.
When 13-year-old Andrew... What did I say? Did I say 13-year Andrew? Because that's not correct. 13-year-old Andrew started to angrily question why nobody had been caught for his mother's murder. Robert and Kathy sat him down and they told him that the police were dumb. So they were never going to be able to solve Elizabeth's murder, and it was probably just best that Andrew move on.
What?
Yeah, she's gone now. Move on with it.
Yeah. Bye. And, see you later. And Andrew had to go into the dry cleaners mm-hmm. to clean up his mother's blood mm-hmm. while Robert stood there.
Stood ominously behind him.
Also, the police questioned Robert and Kathy. Mm-hmm.
Kathy?
Oh, maybe it's the Missouri.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They questioned Robert and Kathy, you know, where were you at the time, blah, blah. And they were each other's. They said they were with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, probably. I don't know if they said that they were at home or what they said, but basically they were each other's alibi. And
nobody ever found out who did it. Goes unsolved to today.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so that is exactly what the Suh children did. They moved on. Which is very easy to do when Kathy, and when we say Kathy, we actually mean Andrew, because Ronald and Elizabeth literally left nothing to Kathy. They left no money. Shit. She got nothing. But she was now Andrew's sole guardian and inherited the family home, business, and $800,000.
Yeah, so in a weird roundabout way, she ended up getting everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Kathy and Andrew started bumping heads because little 11-year-old Andrew was used to being the man of the house. Was he 13 now? He was 13. Mm-hmm. 13-year-old Andrew was used to being the man of the house. And after Kathy... Okay. So, within a week or two, maybe a week, Kathy and Robert moved into the family home, mm-hmm. packed up all the mom and dad shit, got rid of it, and Andrew's there like, what the, like, this is still my home. Like,
yeah.
So, they had a big fucking fight. I guess Kathy came home one day and said she smelled women's perfume in her house.
Mm-hmm. That was not hers.
Uh-huh. And that was her home. Another woman was allowed in that home.
For some reason, I just imagine her coming in the house and smelling the perfume, not uh-huh. realizing it's hers.
Uh-huh.
And then she's even, like, smelling her own shirt. She's like, it's even on me!
So weird, dude. So they had a fight. They got physical. He took off. And then one, he had some weird, like, come to Jesus moment. I don't know what was happening. Out in nature, he saw a tree. He used to hang out with his dad. It was a very long, drawn-out story that didn't make any sense. But what did happen is he went home. He talked it out. And Kathy told him, he was like, what am I supposed to do now? Mm-hmm. And Kathy was like, just be a fucking kid.
Yep.
Which was really weird for him because he had never been allowed to be a kid.
Yeah, because he's been working since 7, 8 years old.
Yeah. So he said that, like, that's one of the things that his sister had done in his life that he was very grateful for, because mm-hmm. he no longer had to worry about who was going to pay the mortgage and if the utilities were going to get paid. Yeah. And which is, that's a lot of stress and responsibility on a 13-year-old. These parents did such a disservice to their kids.
Bruh.
I don't even...
No matter what happens, it was the dad's fault primarily.
Yeah. Well, the mom too.
Yeah.
I was right. She did not treat him.
I think the mom might have had some kind of like Stockholm syndrome because of what the dad did to her. Yeah. It all stems from him.
So for the first time in his life, Andrew was able to be a kid. He went to school. He joined the football team. He made lots of friends. He partied. He acted like a normal teenager. And then he took off to college mm-hmm. on a scholarship because he was also very smart.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the valedictorian or something? I think I read that somewhere. I don't
know. What was he?
The valedictorian. Valedictorian. I can't. You know I can't say certain letters.
Valedictorian?
Valedictorian.
Valedic.
I can't do it. Valedictorian.
There you go. Valedic.
Valedictorian.
There you go.
Valedictorian. See, I can't do it. Valedictorian. Asshole.
I'm going to put that on the list of words that Justine can't say.
Valedictorian.
Number 33.
Number 132. Yeah. Aw. Listen, my mouth doesn't make certain sounds, okay?
It doesn't pronounce ING sounds.
No. No. Okay, so Kathy and Rob, they started playing house in the Suh family home. Mm-hmm. Then with that inheritance money, they decided to open a club together. I think it was called... what was it
called?
Club
Metropolis.
Yeah, thank you. Club Metropolis.
That's so 80s.
It was. The sign looked hella 80s. Yeah,
even the sign, it had yeah. like that Rocco's Modern Life script.
Yeah, it did. And when they started doing really well, they sold the Suh family home and moved into a two-bedroom condo in Wicker Park. Kathy gutted the entire condo and ordered everything custom, you know, custom-style cabinets, and just a lot of expensive shit. Just started filling the home with expensive shit. When they said that in the documentary, it reminded me of that home. It was that case that we did.
With the doctor and that gold-ass house? I know. I feel like when everything's custom and, like, it just looks gaudy. Like, and then in the almost 90s, that shit looked gaudy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this, psychologically speaking, I feel like this is, like, a fuck you to her dad. Like, oh, yeah, the boy, your son, is who you treasured most. Look what I'm doing now.
For sure.
With your money. Rich.
Yeah, I'm paid. Look at me. And then also, Robert... from what his family said about him, and even from what Andrew said about him, he was like all over the place. Like, he was constantly looking for, he's always wanted to do something new.
Yeah.
Like, he could never stay rooted down in what he wanted to do. So he mm-hmm. was always like.
And he was too, like, another, like, get rich quick.
Yeah. He always had some kind of get rich quick scheme. Yeah.
Yep. So then Kathy and Rob, they got engaged. And while we wish we could end the story right here, you know, we can't do that. You know, we haven't got to the full crime.
There's already been a murder.
You know, we're just getting started, basically.
Man.
We're just getting started.
So in July of 1993, Rob served as best man at his brother's wedding. Kathy was not in attendance. And his brother knew that something had gone wrong, that they had probably gotten to a big fight, because normally... that would have been a thing that Kathy would have 100% showed up for.
Yeah.
I feel like probably any opportunity to get a new expensive dress and flaunt her money, she would have, like, made time to do it.
Yeah.
She's like one of those girls that goes to Walmart in a club dress.
Not in a gown.
Then a month later, in August 1993, the couple sold off their club and they decided to take a week-long vacation to Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yeah.
No.
So, when they got back, Kathy says that they got very distant. So, I wonder what happened on that trip.
I don't know, dude.
Then, all of a sudden, Kathy started calling Andrew a ridiculous amount. Calling him all the damn time. Telling him that Robert was embezzling money from the company and that he was beating her. Then she really dropped a bomb. Scott, can you make a bomb sound?
Oh, that was your best sound effect to date. Very good.
Thank you.
Kathy told Andrew that Robert Odebain was the responsible party for both of their mother's death. And the reason that she had never told him or the police was because they were each other's alibi, and if he went to jail, then she would too. So basically, they couldn't involve the police, and that meant, in Elizabeth's mind, that Andrew needed to take care of Robert.
Also, in Elizabeth's mind?
Just kidding.
In Catherine's
mind.
Real quick, up to this point, before she had dropped that bomb, Andrew had come over to the house multiple times and had confronted Robert. First, I guess he had come across him when he was drunk, and Robert was like blaming a bunch of shit on Catherine, and basically blaming a bunch of shit on Catherine and Andrew, saying that he was their meal ticket, basically. So, like blaming, like saying, "You're only with me because I'm white and I have clout."
Or whatever. Oh my god!
So Andrew basically like got super mad at him at that point, and then came by another time, and he was like waving a gun around, and like his wife beat her.
Yeah, so I told him. Oh,
and his whitey tighties.
Yeah.
Oh my god. But before that, like, before Andrew took off to college, like, they were pretty tight-knit. Like, everybody says that they lived it was a weird family because it's a sister, but he was, you know, she was acting as his parent, and so was Robert. Like, he taught Andrew how to drive, he taught him lots of things, and...
Kind of like a father figure.
And Kathy was now the mother figure, but then it was also like a brother-sister relationship, you know what I mean? This was... He felt like it was his older brother. I can imagine that was very confusing.
Yeah.
For everybody. But they had started, like, this weird descent into, like, breaking up, right? I think Kathy and Robert were breaking up. And Andrew's coming around, and Robert's acting like an idiot.
And Robert keeps mentioning this thing, like, she knows all my secrets, and I know all hers.
Yeah.
Which is weird and ominous.
So if he's, you know, getting drunk and waving his gun around, and then Kathy goes, he killed Mom, that's not out of, like, possibility from what he's been seeing from him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he has this secret that she knows, and turns out she knew that he had done something to their mom. Yeah. Supposedly.
So she says.
On September 25th, 1993, Andrew made reservations to fly into Chicago from college. He arrived on September 26th. Kathy picked him up from the airport, and he got into the back seat. She drove him to her and Robert's condo and pulled into the garage. And Andrew got out, but Kathy left.
We'll talk about later. hours later, I don't know exactly how many, but many, many hours later. Kathy made a call to Robert and told him that her car had broken down at a nearby park and he needed to come help her. What she didn't know was that when she had called Robert, he was on the other line with his other girlfriend.
His side piece.
And
scandalous.
So, of course, when Kathy called, he tells the other girl, "Hey, hold on, Kathy's calling me. Let me see what she wants."
Mm-hmm.
But then he never comes back. So he pulled into the garage and got out, and 19-year-old Andrew Sue shot him once in the back of the neck and then a second time in his left cheek.
Right in the face.
How you could do that to someone that's been in your life for so many years. It's like, it's so cold.
But if you're led to believe that
Question. Huh. Sorry, babe. It says that he pulled into the garage and got out of the car. But wouldn't he get into the car to go help her at the park?
He wasn't home. I think that he was coming home and she called him.
Oh, I thought he was going to go into the car to go get her at the park.
I don't know if he went home to get tools or like what. I don't know why he was...
Arriving home?
Yeah, because if he had been home, he would have heard them come into the garage.
Oh, yeah.
And he would have just been sitting there. He could have just gone in and killed him then. Why would he be sitting there waiting?
Oh, yeah. Huh.
So I don't know where he was, but he was on his phone pulling into the garage, and then he got out. And then that's why when the cops came, they're like, "Oh, it's a robbery." someone ambushed him in the garage.
In the garage. Yeah. What were you going to say, Scott? Or did you lose it?
I think I lost it.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. Okay. So when police showed up.
I remember what I was going to say. Okay. Oh, I don't think it's so cold-blooded to think that he would kill this guy if he was led to believe that Robert was the one
that killed his mom.
That killed his mom in such a brutal fashion.
Yeah, it was so savage. Yeah. And then he also said, too, that, you know, he did have to go clean up her blood. And here's this motherfucker who killed my mom. And now he's making me clean up her blood. Yeah. You know, so I understand the rage there.
So when police first showed up, they thought it, you know, like Justine just said, they thought it was a robbery gone bad. You know, Robert's wallet was missing. And doesn't that sound familiar? Because remember, Elizabeth's, you wallet know, the mom.
Also missing.
Yep. Her wallet was also missing.
Also a robbery gone wrong.
Yes.
It was assumed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come back to that at the end. Yeah. During the discussion portion of this episode.
Mm-hmm. After Robert's death, Kathy put on the best show. I think she could. She could have been an actress.
That bitch was crazy.
Yeah. And even had Robert's family fooled. They go to the cemetery for Robert. And I think on their way, she tells Robert's brother, we got to stop at the store so I can get flowers for my mom. Because that's the same cemetery that Elizabeth was buried at. So she gets flowers. They go to the cemetery. And she starts, hysterically crying for Robert, mm-hmm. right?
What does she call him?
Booby?
Yeah, that's Booby. So yeah, gross.
Booby. Oh, Booby.
The brother was saying that she was saying it in, a baby voice, too. Like,
yeah, so weird.
Booby.
Oh, stop. And then she makes her way to her mom's grave, Elizabeth. And she starts crying and, again, talking in the baby voice.
Calling her mommy.
Calling her mommy.
You know how we feel about adults calling their parents mommy and daddy.
Mommy. These parts. And what else was she saying? I forget, but she was
how just, am I supposed to live? Like, all very dramatic.
Yeah. Didn't she say, I lost my booby? She goes, I lost my booby. Yeah,
really weird.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, I lost my booby. And I was like, booby? What?
No.
And then, so she's crying hysterically, not only for Robert, but also
for her mommy.
For her mommy. And then her dad's grave is next to Elizabeth's, you know, the mom.
And the brother's like, who is that?
Yeah. She's like, oh, that's my dad. He cheated on my mom with a bunch of whores.
And totally cut the waterworks.
Yeah.
Said it very coldly.
Yeah. Cold heartedly. Yeah. And then as soon as she goes back to her mom's grave, which is a foot away, she starts, the waterworks start coming. And Robert's family thought that probably was the weirdest. They just thought it was odd. Yeah. You know?
It's what kind of psychopath
are we dealing with here?
It's happening.
Yeah.
No, but for a while, they were comforting her. They were very much she is a grieving fiance, and they were worried about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was it a detective? I don't remember. Somebody approached them and was like, she's involved in this somehow. So I would back up. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no way. She wouldn't have done this to him.
Little did they know.
That she 100% orchestrated the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks later, they get away with it for very long. Andrew was detained at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. I think he went to school in Rhode Island. So I don't know why on earth he was in Texas.
Maybe he was visiting.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing there. But the DAA thought that he was carrying drugs, which was super unlucky for Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
So while they were searching all his shit for drugs, they actually found Robert's wallet in Andrew's luggage. And then we're like, at this point, it's already 6 weeks later. They already know he's been murdered.
I'm sorry, but why would you keep Robert's wallet it? 6 weeks later? I would have discarded it. What are you doing?
Because that's fate. And you were meant to get caught.
Yep.
And you should get caught for being a dumbass.
Yeah.
Dimpy, you idiot.
Yeah.
So Andrew was taken back to Chicago and questioned by police. And 13 hours later, he confessed to the murder.
Man.
He's sang like a canary. Is that the saying? He squawked like a canary.
He squawked? They don't squawk.
Is that a parrot?
He sang like a canary.
Oh, all
right. There you go. You had it right the first time. Oh, okay.
I overthought it.
Yeah.
There's a good Tom Segura bit in one of his stand-ups, and he's like, why is it that when these people, when they get questioned, they eventually cave in? It's like, this is your life, dude.
Yeah.
Lie longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad that we have, like, I'm glad that people that do, like, the murderers, you know, I'm glad they are idiots, because if they weren't idiots, they would never get caught.
Yeah. And I think also, just, like, as people, we're not made to, like, kill other people. So when you do it, like, you have this weird guilty thing riding on your conscience. Oh, yeah. And it's true. Like, they're sitting there, like, you did this, you did it. Fuck, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. Kathy was brought in later that same day, but unlike her brother Andrew, she was able to post bond until trial. I think her bond was $200,000, or maybe a little bit.
So she had to pay $20,000.
Yeah. So the brother and sister were tried together, but
this is fucked up, though. She's like, let me bond myself out. Yep.
You stay in there. That's fucked up. So Kathy and Andrew, they were tried together, but the day trial actually started, Kathy was nowhere to be found. She dipped out. I think that's fucked up. She just left her brother high and dry. Mm-hmm. And she fucking left.
What she needed out of him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Andrew was convicted of Robert's murder and sentenced to 80 years in prison.
Originally 100 years, and then it was reduced.
Yeah. I think they tried to give him the death penalty at first, but they didn't. Yeah. Then, like Justine just said,
19 years old.
Yeah, tried to give him 100 years.
On the premise that it was, he had plenty of time to think about his actions while he was waiting in the garage.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And I think he sat in the garage for 4 hours waiting for Robert to come home. And Kathy, she was sentenced to life in prison in absentia. Since she had dipped the fuck out. She's nowhere to be found.
Bye.
She said, bye, I'm out.
In January 1996, America's Most Wanted featured her in an episode, and she had made, like, friends.
Under false.
Yeah.
Aliases.
What was her name?
Kasha Kane.
There was Kasha Kane.
She was Kasha Kane as a real
estate. Yeah, as a real estate.
Yeah, and then we were working in real estate. She took off to Hawaii. Uh-huh. She took off to Honolulu. And then when she was there, she was Tiffany Escada.
So fancy.
She's bougie.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a friend in Honolulu that she talked to, and she talked to her a lot, and she was like, it's so weird. She's like, the way that she didn't talk about her family, but she talked about her father a lot.
That was weird.
Yeah, and she's like, and the way she talked about him, like, she made it seem like she was daddy's little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
maybe just to throw the scent off?
It's so weird.
I don't know.
It's like, were you just trying, because you had started a new life, like you were going to make a different path for yourself? Like, I don't know.
It's very contradictory.
It's just crazy. What happens in your head?
You know, like you hate your father, but then you're talking to, you know, this new person, you know, friend or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And you're explaining... you're just, like, praising your father and speaking, you're talking about him in the utmost respect.
Yeah. Or
with the utmost respect.
And you hated him.
And you hated him in real life. Like,
so weird.
What is that?
So, finally, on March 8th, 1996, Kathy turned herself into Honolulu police because she saw her face all over America's Most Wanted. Her friend saw her face and was like, oh, my God, that crazy bitch knows where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Her reasoning for turning herself in was... it's because I'm innocent, and this will prove that I'm innocent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Because you did just flee.
Well, it's like, if you were innocent to begin with, you would have showed up at the first court date.
Yeah,
but you didn't. Idiot. You left, and that makes you look real suspicious.
When
you
know, was the
that
first court date? 93.
Yeah.
So she fled for 3 years.
No. They arrested them in 93, but you know how long shit takes.
Yeah, she dipped out. She was on the run for basically, I think, 2.5 years.
Yeah. Just living her best life.
Yeah.
Kasha Kane.
Constantly finding a new rich boyfriend wherever she was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
And that boyfriend that she was with when she was Tiffany Escada in Hawaii, she also convinced him to get a lavish condo.
Yeah. What is this power that this woman has?
Is her pussy made out of gold?
It's called a vagina.
Jeez.
She got that pussy power.
Man, I'm not using mine correctly then.
I know. What's that? Well, yours is broken.
What the fuck? Yeah, that's true. Shut down for business.
Come back, never. you know those signs where it says, sorry, out to lunch, be back later? Yours is
just... it's got, like, cobwebs on it. It's dusty. You can barely see the words anymore.
Just boarded up.
That's what I said. So, anyways, she went back and her ass went to jail for life because she was guilty. She did it. Mm-hmm. Whore.
And... got him.
So
dang, her dad called her a whore. Now just he's calling her a whore.
Well, if the shoe fits. No. So Andrew, while they were in prison, they were within 30 miles of each other. Like, yeah, super
they were close.
So he sent a message to her through a friend because they're probably not allowed to have contact. Mm-hmm. And just told her that they were family and that he loved her and that all they had was each other now. And she responded. Oh my gosh,
what did she say, Justine?
She responded and said, oh, I love you too.
Nah, she didn't say that.
She said that he was not her brother. She did not know him and to never contact her again.
How wooed.
Are you kidding me?
That, when I read this, I was like, that is completely fucked up.
She's crazy.
Like, you manipulated your brother to do this, to murder your boyfriend or your fiance, and then he goes to jail, and now you don't want to have...
For you,
because, you know, and now you don't want to have anything to do with him. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's stupid.
I wonder if she thought that she'd still be able to get out of this somehow, so she's keeping her distance from him or something like that, like a last-minute ditch effort.
So stupid. So that was 2 decades ago, and the two still haven't had any sort of communication.
No. Andrew Supp, he petitioned for clemency in July of 2017. And the judge heard his case, but has yet to make a decision from what we could find. So we guess that, you know, there's no time limit on the judge to make a decision. Like, he can make it tomorrow, in a week, in a month, in a year. They don't give him a time limit on...
And he doesn't actually have to ever.
Yeah, he doesn't have to ever.
We will say that he did have an appeal in 2011 that was denied.
Yeah.
But if we were... Or if he were to grant clemency, Andrew is asking to be released with time served. And Andrew is now 45 years old.
I think he's eligible for parole in
2034.
Yeah.
He does not look that old.
No.
I also just want to say right now that Andrew has a wedding ring on in all of his interviews.
I noticed that.
He's married to someone, and I think it's bullshit that a prisoner that killed someone can find a wife, but your old girl can't find a husband over here. Do I need to murder someone to find a husband?
Yes.
I think you know how to pick them, Justine.
Damn it!
I think we've basically said all we needed to say throughout this whole episode, but I feel... I have so many feelings in this case. It's just a shit show all around, this whole case. But I do feel... I feel bad for both of them. I feel bad for Andrew, and I feel bad for Catherine. And I also feel... Because Andrew even brought this up. He said that Kathy would always say, if Byung Cho was here, everything would be better. Which I feel like, is, you know, when Byung...
The fuck?
Working Fast and Furious outside.
Jeez.
It seemed like shit hit the fan when Byung Cha died. Because that's when Kathy started getting the shit end of the stick. Mm-hmm. Started getting abused. And which should have never happened. You know what I mean? Yeah. Also, regarding the whole clemency thing, Robert's brother and the judge that sentenced Andrew said that although they're not going to participate in the clemency proceedings, they're not against him
getting
out.
Yeah.
Because they know that this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Catherine.
I think it was like a perfect storm, right?
It really was, yeah.
The brother died, and then Kathy started getting the Russian. And then this whole family had this very, like, weird, like, loyalty to the bitter fucking end mentality, right?
Yeah.
Like, you... only be loyal to your family. And I think Kathy... I feel that Kathy set up Robert to at least help aid in the murder of her mother, Elizabeth. because like I said earlier, she was stabbed 37 times in the face and chest, right? Mm-hmm. That's not a robbery. That's a crime of passion.
Yes.
Why that was ever said to be a robbery is crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, again, also, maybe back then they don't know the things that they know now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's her, dude. I think that the what they were implying is that maybe Robert did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was Kathy that did it because, A, the way that she was so brutally murdered mm-hmm. just seems like somebody was taking out some aggression on
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did Robert have against her him to do yeah. that?
Nothing, but there was an extreme amount of money in it at the end of it. And they had also said that, too. It was like the conversation probably took place that we're going to get all this money. Yes, it's going to go to Andrew, but he's a minor. I'll take him on. So in all reality, that money will all go into me. So yeah. whether she...
He was in on it.
Oh, for sure. They worked together. I just don't know
if he did the deed.
No. I feel like they worked together.
Yeah. I think I agree with Justine that they were in on it together. Like, meaning, I think that they both were there that night. Yeah.
That's
you know?
The secret that she had on him.
Yeah.
When he was complaining yep. about, she knows all my secrets.
They both knew each other's secrets.
The families have two very conflicting opinions about this, right? Of course. Because his family says that he wanted to leave her. He was over it. That's mm-hmm. why he had the new girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And that she wouldn't allow him to leave. And so she was threatening this, we did this murder together or whatever. You're not going to ever leave me. You're never going to leave me. But her side of it says, Andrew's side of it says, that she was threatening to leave him. She was his meal ticket.
Yeah.
So he was like, you're not going to leave me, and if you do,
I'm going to tell the police. I'm going to
tell what I know
yeah.
about this murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, perfect storm.
Yep.
This shit is brewing. Yeah. Now, here's why I 100% know that Kathy was involved in the murder of her mother, because they did the same shit to Robert.
Yep.
Took his wallet, tried to make it look yep. like a robbery gone bad.
Yep.
And because she got away with it once.
Yep.
So she's like, I already know how to do this.
She's feeling brave.
Yep.
And Robert had a $250,000 life insurance policy that I think that she was the beneficiary on.
Yep, she was.
So,
yep.
She's clearly just like a master
manipulator.
Yeah.
She will shit on you.
She was the original.
I'll tell you to say thank you.
Yeah. And I think Robert and Catherine, they were two sociopaths that found each other.
Ugh.
Because
shit went awry.
She was money honey. Money honey. She was
money honey.
That was her nickname.
Yeah.
Catherine money honey. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. She was, you know, money hungry. And so was he.
Yeah.
You know, he was like you said earlier, Justine, he was doing these, trying to, it's like that quick, what is it? Get rich quick schemes.
Mm-hmm. You always had some new idea that
yeah,
he was
trying
into.
To do new yeah. things and try to make as much money as he possibly can.
I think there's like no question about how guilty Kathy is in all of this. And obviously Robert shouldn't have died over it. Break it up is cool, guys. That's totally allowed. I went into this whole case like thinking, oh, you know what? Andrew was a 19-year-old kid. He got brainwashed by his sister. And you know how I feel about a 19-year-old. You're still a kid in my eyes. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, the punishment that he got was too harsh, and he should be granted clemency. But after watching that documentary, mm-hmm. which is on YouTube, guys, just Google his name. I mean, put in his name.
Andrew Suh, S-U-H.
I almost, like, the whole time I'm like, okay, I understand. You never had a childhood, and then your dad dies young when you're young. Your mom is brutally murdered. Your sister's a nutcase. You got this weird man in your house. Then you find out he killed your mom. So it's like, okay, I get that. But at the the very end, they're talking to him, and he's still, like, he blames Robert for, he almost says something like, it was his, I'm angry at him because he made me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And puts none of the responsibility on Kathy.
Mm-mm.
I think it just goes to show how brainwashed he was.
Yeah.
He's still brainwashed at 45.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just like, okay, you don't even have, I feel like there's not even remorse there. And he's like, I know his family, hates me because I took their son, but he took my mother. And he says something about eye for an eye, whatever it fucking says.
Life for a life, tooth for a tooth.
And so that's not someone that goes, oh, I did this bad thing, and I did it because my sister told me to do it. That's someone who's still very much justifying
their actions. I was just going to say, trying to justify their his action
so, doing that. I don't know how I feel about clemency.
Yeah.
And just knowing how brutal the mom's murder was, like Scott said earlier, that's someone that hated her. Why would Robert stab her 37 times in the face in the...
Yeah.
I mean, so Kathy did it.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense that Robert would do that, because he has no connection like that to Elizabeth, you know?
He was in on it for the prospect of the $800,000 dollars that he would basically live vicariously through Andrew.
Yeah.
So he was in on it, and he knew her secret, but she did the deed. You don't stab somebody 37 times in the face and neck.
If you don't have any...
Yeah, if you don't have, like, some grudge against her for...
Yeah.
She was taking out her anger on her dad, taking out her anger on her mom for being complicit with the dad.
Mm-hmm.
She was always rated as, like, a second-class sibling compared to her brothers. She wasn't nothing. And her mom was okay with the way that her dad treated her.
Yeah.
Even, I think I heard in the documentary too that even the mom would even treat her, like,
poorly.
Yeah, Andrew would get all the praise.
Yeah.
For everything.
And you think, too, about, like, that whole scene at the cemetery, right? She's bawling and crying and acting like a, you know, like she's so heartbroken. And the brother was saying, like, oh, I felt like... At the time that she was upset because she was grieving, right? Like, she lost her fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but now I almost feel like it was guilt, right? And whose murders was she responsible for? Robert's and her mother's. And that's where she's acting like a lunatic. And then they scroll to the dad, and she's like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So it probably was a guilty conscience. Like, I know I did this. Maybe not even guilty, but just like, let me put on a show.
Yeah, like, let me. Because
I know I'm responsible for this.
She just went too hard in the paint and putting on a show.
So weird.
And it made her look really fishy. Like,
yeah.
You put on this whole...
Your weird act didn't work. And the thing that upsets me the most is that Andrew still blames Robert. But your sister killed your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see that or admit that.
Yeah.
You're still blaming Robert, who probably had very little to do with... I mean, we don't know. No one's ever been arrested, but...
Yeah, and he... But
let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
She did it.
She did. And he says that, you know, I love Kathy, and she'll always be my sister, and blood is blood, and, you know, even though she did this to me... Or didn't he say that, like, even if she...
Bacchus locus forever.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like, even though she did this to me, you know, we're still... I feel like that's his mentality, you know. Even though she did this fucked up thing to me, we're still family.
Yeah.
But it's like... She doesn't think like that.
No. She's mad at you.
Yeah.
She's mad at you that you guys got caught.
Yeah, exactly.
She's probably pissed off that he confessed.
Yep. Definitely. Because she thought they were going to get away with it. She was going to get away with it, you know?
And probably because her and Robert held up so strong the first go around, right? When they were questioning them about Elizabeth. She's like, you little bitch. Like, you should have just lied. But how are you going to explain Robert's wallet and your fucking luggage 6 weeks later? Stupid. Stupid. That's also why you don't hire 19-year-olds to commit crimes for you, okay?
Yeah. They always get caught.
Dumb.
Always in their feelings.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about the whole clemency thing. I'm not too sure. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Either way, he's eligible for parole 2034. It's not that far away.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be...
59? No, actually, he'll be 61 when he gets out. If he gets out, if they,
yeah,
he's like this model prisoner. Like, he's like escorting the elderly and like pushing wheelchairs and doing hospice care. So he's like, if there's anybody that would be eligible for parole, it'd be him.
Kathy's not. She ain't trying to shank a prison guard or something.
Is she?
Yeah, she got in trouble for that bullshit.
Damn. She's fucking crazy, dude. Yeah.
I'm gonna get it. He's been in there for so long. He says repeatedly, "I did a bad thing. I'm not a bad person."
That's what they all say.
I don't know. Just like, you know, the reason why they gave him such a hard sentence, a harsh sentence, was because he did have so long to back out. He had 4 hours sitting in that garage by himself to go, you know what? Today I'm not going to shoot someone in the head.
You know what he should have done? This is what every guy needs to do before they make a huge decision like that. Should have gone and rubbed one out.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not lying.
You're stupid.
I'm not lying. Any big decision you have to make.
You have the most serious look on your face.
Because I'm not lying.
He is very serious about this. Very serious.
Go rub one out first and then still decide if you want to go murder somebody.
Oh my
20
God.
Bucks says he would have backed out.
Yeah, he said when he was, Andrew said that when he was waiting out those 4 hours, you know, he kept hearing his sister's voice in his head.
Yeah.
And
oh, crazy.
Yeah. And that he kept saying, putting in his head that, you know, Robert killed my mother. Robert killed my mother.
And we didn't say it earlier, but after she told him that Robert had killed her mother for 2 weeks straight, she harassed him morning, noon, and night saying, when are you going to do this? Mm-hmm. When are you going to take care of him? He killed mom. You need to do this for mom. Do it for mom. Your dead mother. Like, and he's already a damaged kid.
Yep.
She was, like, dressing up as her mom and, like, waiting outside of his window. Like, Robert killed me, Andrew.
It's so weird. This is such a weird story.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one.
It's very sad because now, you know, Andrew doesn't have anybody.
Yeah.
He lost his dad.
That's
lost
not
his...
true. Andrew has a wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot. Andrew has a wife. Never mind. Take it back. Yeah, but, I mean, family, he doesn't have his dad. He doesn't have his mom. His sister won't talk to him for shit.
Because he squealed.
Because he squealed. He sang like a canary. Or he squawked like a canary.
He squawked like a canary. Started a new one, guys.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Anything else, Scotty?
Negatory.
All right. Now, we're getting into segment time.
Yes. And because this was a episode about a family, we decided to play a family game where we are going to guess Disney songs.
Yeah. Name that Disney song.
Yeah. So basically, we're going to play like a 15-second clip of a Disney song. We got to figure out
who I don't remember.
What movie is it from?
Movie is it from?
Who sang it in the movie?
Uh-huh.
And what's the song's name? Yeah.
Okay. Are we working against each other or are we all working together as a family?
You're going to be holding the phone, so you're going to be able to see it, right?
No, it gives you 15 seconds to figure out what it is. That's the other thing. We have 15 seconds to figure out what it is.
Oh, should we work together, or should we work?
I mean, we're going to have to, because we're all going to hear it.
Yeah, I feel like we might have a lot of faith in ourselves when we might not remember shit.
So a point for each, right?
Yeah.
Let's see how many points we can get at the end of this.
Okay.
I'll take score. Okay.
Okay. Here's the first one. Hold on. Let me rewind a few seconds. Oh, what the hell?
We're the team BJs.
Dang. Under the Sea, Sebastian, Little Mermaid.
Team BJs.
Okay, so you get 1 point for the song, for the character, for the movie. Okay,
that's so funny that's our initials.
BJS.
BJs.
It's like it was meant to be.
I know.
All right, let me turn my phone down. It's hella loud.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. First song.
Oh, that's really low. You're face to face with greatness and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel.
It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Okay, well, I feel like we don't need to let this play all the way through. Okay. Okay, here's the answer. All right. What's the movie? Moana.
Is that the movie?
Yeah.
Moana?
Moana is the movie.
Okay.
Maui. Is the singer, aka The Rock.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the song's called.
I've never seen Moana, so.
Wait.
I've seen Moana.
I think it's called You're Welcome. I think.
Okay, right. Go ahead.
Okay, here's play the answer.
And you gotta do it a little bit louder.
Okay.
It's very quiet. Yes, it's really me. It's Maui.
Breathe it in. Yep.
Oh, Maui.
You're welcome, Maui. Moana.
Way to go, Steen.
Dang. So there's good at this
very
game.
Few Disney movies I haven't seen, but that's one of them.
How have you not seen that yet? Are you against it because it's Hawaiian?
Yeah, I'm distancing myself from everything Hawaiian.
I gotcha. It's not racist, guys. We've got a lot of Hawaiian friends, okay? We're allowed to be rude to them. Do you know them? No. You wouldn't want to be friends with them anywhere either.
Nope. I've just never gotten around to seeing it.
Okay, go ahead, next one.
Okay, here we go. Okay, we get it.
Maui, Moana, you're welcome.
6 points.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Next one. Okay, fade out faster. That's an echo, gentlemen. Just a little something we have here in Louisiana. A little parlor trick, don't worry.
Princess and the Frog. Yeah. I don't remember any of the characters' names. If you relax, it will enable me
to do anything I please. Okay, it's definitely Princess and the Frog.
Okay.
That it's the villain. I don't know what his name is.
Don't remember.
Prince. He just kinda looked like Prince. In my mind. And the song is Don't Know.
Okay, so one. You one got point, the... one point.
Well, it's not even Princess and the Frog.
Okay, let's see. I can read your future. I can change it. I've got friends on the other side. Princess and the Frog. This character's name is Dr.
What is that?
Facilier?
Facilier? Facilier? Weird. You guys got 1 point.
You know, I didn't like Princess and the Frog anyways. It was stupid.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It was actually very cute. And it made me
cry. Maybe I have seen it.
Doesn't the frog die at the end?
Spoiler.
Oh, no. No, it's a little country firefly. He got, like, missing teeth. And he talks like, I don't know. So, made me cry. Okay, ready?
Yeah. Next one.
Next one. I look
deep into your heart. This is not the next one yet, guys.
No.
Same song, same song. All right, here's the next one.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Is it sugar? Yeah. Is it sugar?
Yeah.
Makes the sugar go down?
Full of sugar.
Yeah. I'll fast forward. So we got 3 of those, right? Mary Poppins, the sugar makes the help, or spoonful of sugar.
Go down. Mary Poppins.
Spoonful of sugar. Okay, next.
Oh, Justine.
We're fast forwarded too far?
No.
She fast forwarded too far where we saw the answers, so we're going to skip that one. Right.
Oh.
Peter Pan.
Yeah. Does anybody even sing those songs? Is it just all the kids that sing that? Because this is before they go to Neverland. This is a bullshit
one. Peter Pan, You Can Fly.
No character.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, well, we got 2 points off of that.
The narrator singing that.
Or you got 2 points off of that. Okay.
Okay.
Next one.
Yeah.
She gave me a point for getting that thing.
This is still You Can Fly.
Oh, I don't watch Peter Pan now.
Put it together, and what do you got? Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
Cinderella.
Mother. Fairy Godmother. Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
Yeah, that's got to be the name of it, right? Let's see.
If it has some fucking asinine name.
No, Bibbidi bobbidi boo. Fairy Godmother, Cinderella.
Yeah.
Okay. Nailed that shit. Okay, here we go.
Next one.
Tarzan.
No, it's not. No. What is this? It sounds familiar.
David Fuckafina. That should have sounded whack.
Is Rango a Disney?
Is fucking no. Disney? What is this?
Rango's fantastic, though.
I do love Rango.
The song is Seize the Day. Jack Kelly and the Newsies from Newsies.
Fuck is that?
What?
Ain't no Disney movie.
That's some bullshit. I do not accept that one. Okay, we're doing this one now.
Okay.
It's Emperor's New Groove. Pretty sure. It's no character. It's just an... Emperor's New Groove. It might even be called Emperor's New Groove.
Oh.
And I don't think it's any character that's singing. It's just like an ensemble? Maybe it's like his servants or something like that.
Mm, okay. Let's see.
Okay. Oh, Cusco's the name of the song.
No. Song is called Perfect World. Oh, the singer is the Thing Song Guy. Literally, that's the that's Thing, what it says, song, thing guy. Song Guy. Uh-huh. From The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh. So you only got one?
1 point.
1 point. Okay. Okay.
Theme song guy. Let's just do one more. They really couldn't find any other songs that were sung by actual characters.
We're going to do one more.
Okay.
Okay, right now. Beauty and the Beast.
That's too easy, yeah.
LeFou.
What's the song, though?
I don't know. Gaston? No one's better than Gaston? Gaston's the best?
It's probably just Gaston.
Gaston?
Or no.
I secretly have a crush on Gaston. Sign LeFou.
I think it's just Gaston, right? Let's see.
I don't know. Ask any Tom, Dick, or Stanley, and they'll tell you. Beauty and the Beast, LeFou, Gaston. Yay! Nice. Oh my god, can we do one more?
Yeah, we can do one more.
Okay,
okay, ready?
I love this game. When I get it right.
Mm. Ready? Here we go. All I do is rub that lamp, and I'll say, Mr. Aladdin, oh, it shows me the answer. Okay, you guys guess.
Aladdin, Prince Ali? Prince Alibaba?
Alibaba?
The Genie, mm-hmm. Aladdin. Prince Ali,
that was not the song that was playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to say, that didn't sound like it. Let me hear more of the song.
I didn't even get to hear that much of it.
Back.
But I know it's Genie. I know it's Aladdin. Master, you in luck, up your sleeve, you got a brand magic never. Oh, you got a friend of me. Or you got a friend like me?
Yeah, friend like me.
Sorry.
Nice.
Mr. Aladdin, sir.
You ain't never had a friend like me. You know, that's a good song, too.
That is a good one.
Aw, I love Aladdin. Okay, is that it?
Yeah, let's call it. How long are we at?
We're at...
I feel like this is a long one.
120.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got 3... ...19 points on 8 songs.
How many possible points was that?
8 times 3, 24,
yeah.
Minus 1,
23. And we got how many?
18? 19.
Were you counting no character as a correct answer?
No, there's no point.
Okay. No.
So, yeah.
Oh, then points. We got 18 points then, right? Well, 19. Whatever. Yeah, it's still 19 it's points. Still, yeah. Whatever.
All right, so we did, like, all right.
We did, like, all right.
Except for that stupid-ass movie.
Stupid Newsies. What is that?
That's weird.
Who even knows? Mm-mm. Oh, shit. I almost started playing No Sleep.
Team BJ's 19 points.
What the mother... All right, guys. We only have 1 5-star review this week, which is unacceptable. I'm going to need you guys to step up your game. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We need all the 5-star reviews.
Okay. So we have 1 5-star review from my new favorite listener. That's not what it's from. That's the title of it. Oh, my God. It's from Alice Underground. Okay? Sorry. I'm very confused right now. Ladies, I love what you're doing. Thank you for raising awareness by sharing stories involving people of color. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Oh, we will, girl.
So, God. Apparently Christian Bale was in the Newsies?
What?
What?
It was I a think 1992
Was it a Disney movie?
Yeah, it's a Disney musical, it looks like.
Oh, well, that's, you know what? That was a trick question.
How weird.
I think of Disney and I only think of cartoons.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 41%.
Aww. All right. Guys, give us the 5-star reviews. Yeah. Please. I'll take a 4-star. No. Justine thinks it's unacceptable, but I'm okay. You know what? Just give us a review. It helps people find us.
Yeah.
Also, spread the word of us. You know, tell your grandma. Actually, maybe not.
Don't tell your grandma.
Don't tell your grandma.
Don't tell your grandma.
Tell your friends.
Tell your cousins. Tell her that one really cool aunt you have.
Yeah.
The one that smokes weed with you every once in a while in the backyard.
That one.
That went into a little too much detail, Scott.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, if you guys would like to follow us, you can do so on Facebook and Instagram. We're at It's About Damn Crime. Run it together, space it out. We'll pop up and hit that follow button. We also have a Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes we mention, sometimes we don't, we forget. But we have a Facebook group. It's our name. It's About Damn Crime. Please remember to, there's only 3 questions. They're easy questions. Just answer them. And we just want to make sure that you're not a bot.
Yes. Or an asshole.
Or an asshole. Also, guys, well, I mean, you can't really tell if they're an asshole.
Assholes are all right.
You can't really tell if they're an asshole or not.
Justine's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, true. She is. We just want to make sure you're not a bot. So please answer the questions. And if you guys would like to follow us on Twitter and Snapchat, you can do so at IADC Podcast.
Yeah, guys, go head out. Not head out. Don't head out. You don't have to go anywhere. Yeah. You literally do it from your phone. Go check out our Patreon, please.
Yeah, we had to
cut some things, but that's fine. If you're not a member yet, then you don't know, and we're not going to involve you. We did just release a video where me and Brittany got real fucking drunk.
In a matter of 20 minutes, and we downed, I think we drank like a
three quarters of a bottle
of vodka.
Just between the two of you.
This is real fun. Let me tell you, that was real fun editing that. It wasn't. I was watching.
It was a nightmare for just
rambly when we get drunk. So
yeah. I think that's about it, right?
Yeah.
That's all we need to, that's all she wrote. All right, Justine.
Yeah.
Remember, there's a lot of desert out there.
Which is what I would have liked to said to Ronald when he decided to blame his innocent child for the murder of his other child. Being a girl is cool, Ronald.
Ronald.
That's why you died when you were young.
Ron!
Oh, that was aggressive.
Ooh, Ron, stop!
Whoa!
Ron,
when you're that angry and ugly inside, bad things happen to you.
Oh, dang.
Just yeah, like stomach cancer, idiot.
Oh, my God. Don't come for me on that, okay, guys? I'm not saying if you're mean, you get cancer.
He's mean to his daughter.
Sometimes I do.
It's justified.
Okay. All right. All right, guys. We will catch you next week with a Stranger Danger episode. Guys, send us your Stranger Danger stories. Send us your Stranger Danger stories.
Send us a whole completed episode so we don't have to record it and edit.
We're actually running low on stories, so I'm going to need you guys to step up your game. Yeah.
And if you don't, then we stop doing it, so just letting you know.
Oh, damn. That was a threat.
What a bitch.
Dang, we're kind of on fire right now. Okay, we love you guys. Sorry for being rude and bossy.
Okay, love you guys.
I love you more.
I love you.
No, I love you more.
I love you more.
I love you more. Okay, you love me more.
I don't know.
What are you talking to you? I'm talking to the listeners. Oh my God, we gotta stop this rant.
Okay, bye.
I'm gonna make some ramen. Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. Bye.